First, I would like to thank the Commerce Commission for their careful consideration of the issues around software patents and applaud their decision to introduce the exclusion for software patents. In all honesty, it was very unexpected that we would be able to change the direction of the legislation. That we have put forward an argument that was sufficiently compelling means our hard work over the last several years has indeed borne fruit. Of course, we are not naive. This is certainly not the end of the line. The government must adopt the report of the Commerce Commission and pass the legislation. We sincerely hope the government will adopt the careful deliberations of the Commerce Committee and carry forward the legislation as proposed by the Commerce Committee. There are many powerful interests who will be very upset at this decision and no doubt will bring every influence they have to bear on changing this decision.
They believe software patents are inconsistent with the open source model. However, this is only relevant if the model is proven to be the best and that all software developers should use it. There is no such evidence. Developers who use the proprietary model should be free to do so unless there is a proven economic harm.
In our submission, we did not make the argument that the effect on open source software was specifically a reason to disallow software patents. It is the position of the New Zealand Open Source Society that we believe that software patents will damage the interests of not only our members, but those of the larger New Zealand information technology sector. The fact is, many of our members are professional software developers. A significant number of these members develop closed source products. In fact, a large number of software developers who are not members also support our position on patents, regardless of the business model they use. Our argument is that software patents are harmful to all New Zealand software development houses.
The committee noted that software patents can stifle innovation and competition. Although why only software patents have this effect is not explained in the report.
The ways in which software patents can stifle innovation was given specific treatment in our submission. Our first example was a comparison to books, which are in no doubt creative and innovative, but are not covered in patent law. Software is a form of creative expression in almost every way analogous to writing a book. Our second example was a description of how patents have been used to reinforce monopolies and to protect the revenue streams of large multinational companies, but have failed to provide revenue for New Zealand software companies.
Finally, we note that the committee's amendment will mean a divergence from the patent law of our neighbour Australia, despite a treaty for the harmonisation of business law between our two countries.
The selection of Australian patent law as an example of divergence is curious, considering that Europe has taken the same stance as New Zealand. Therefore, we are in fact implementing a patent approach that is well supported by some of our largest trading partners. It is indeed unfortunate that Australia's implemented changes to its patent law as a consequence of the US Free Trade Agreement, as it has had no benefit from that agreement. It would tend to indicate that changing our patent law to benefit US multinationals should at least wait until we have a solid free trade agreement with the United States administration that delivers something of benefit to us, such as cutting subsidies to its dairy farmers and allowing us to compete on an equal basis. There is little benefit to sacrificing any meagre leverage we may have simply to get into the negotiation table.
It is not clear why the committee gave the open source community submissions such weight. To argue that the software is unpatentable because it is built on existing software seems unusual given nearly every invention builds on what others did before. As many inventors realize, one object for the patent system is to promote publishing of inventions. Then others have the opportunity to learn and develop from those inventions and improve our standard of living.
The open source ethic is by no means new. It is the basis of scientific process in which new discoveries are published for others to build on. We can only suggest that the reason the committee gave multiple submissions supporting the exclusion of software such weight was the compelling argument and sincere belief that the interests of all New Zealand should come before that of large multinational corporations.
In the short term, the government may see the exclusions as helpful to our economy. However, New Zealand is a net importer of technology, Therefore, we should not ignore the impact of the exclusion on trade negotiations and wider relations with our major trading partners, such as the United States, Europe, Japan, and Australia.
We wholeheartedly agree with the sentiments expressed here. We should certainly not ignore the impact of this exclusion on trade negotiations. Australia signed a free trade agreement which resulted to changes in Australian patent law. What did they get for their trouble? We know from the Australian Free Trade Agreement that the single most important concession the US would like to see in New Zealand is to adopt the US-style intellectual property laws. This is probably our only leverage. We therefore have a choice. We can either give the US everything they want before we even sit down at the table, or we can hold off and ensure that, at the very least, we get something out of a free trade agreement, something like the immediate suspension of dairy subsidies in the US. That might actually be in New Zealand's interests. What isn't in our interests is to give up all our leverage before sitting down at the table. I would prefer our legislation not to be negotiated at all, of course, and hold to our principles side by side with the European Union.